Fatma Marana, and to the listeners, it's the first of spring, alhamdulillah. So very excited. So let me quickly introduce myself, listeners. Those of you who don't know me, this is a new show, and it's the first time having the Power Hour. This will be a weekly program every Sunday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And like Marana said, we're going to be discussing various aspects, you know, especially on education, performance, skills for success within teaching and learning, a little bit of parenting, especially with regards to the education. And it will also be about high performance, or what we will call peak performance. So just to quickly give everybody a little background about me, who am I, what do I do, and why am I doing this show. My background has been in technology. I was a solution specialist from 1994 to 2009. And I had gravitated towards technology in the early, or you can say the late 1990s, when I started homeschooling my children. And then I saw there was a huge need for empowering students on how to learn, how to learn. A lot of people don't know how to learn, how to learn. So in 2004, I started a business on study skills. You know, at that time, it was something very new, and I carried on. And I did that right up until 2009. I used to do part-time, and then I started doing it full-time. I also lectured at University of KwaZulu-Natal. I was featured on national television because of the amazing results I achieved with my accelerated learning study skills system. And alhamdulillah, I've been very blessed in that, you know, I have been able to empower over 140,000 students throughout the world, over 10,000 teachers and parents throughout the world, and more than 6,000 educational institutes are using my program and my framework. Why? One reason, it's getting them the results. So we want to do the same for you guys, listeners. We want to start getting you the results, okay? So by this show, the Power Hour, we're going to break it up into four parts. The first part is going to be all about technology, all about education and what is going on in education. So let's talk about learning and teaching, right? You know, these are the two most powerful skills on earth, which we call how to learn and how to teach. Both are very valuable skills, especially when we know the Sunnah, you know, seek knowledge from the cradle onto the grave. So in terms of education, where do we find ourselves currently in South Africa? So if you look at it, right now, the educational system in South Africa, which is the CAP system that they're using, is actually ranked third last in the world. You know, now that's really alarming and frightening. And not to mention, the education system has changed four times in the last 30 years, right? So we got a failing system. Because if you look at it, we rank, like I said, third last in the world. We are ranked 146 out of 148 countries. When it comes to math and science, the key skills of education in any country, anywhere you go, right? Math and science, we are ranked last in the world for more than 14 years. So we last in the world, right? Then again, when it comes to your reading, comprehension, literacy, according to the Pearl Report of February 2021, as well as October 2016, our literacy rate again in South Africa is last in the world. We know it's a huge problem. We have grade 4 students, aged 10 years old, who can't read for comprehension. So we're in a major crisis when it comes to the kind of system we are using. And that is why you'll find there's a huge shift and move towards homeschooling. There's a lot of homeschooling centers throughout the country, a lot of people doing homeschooling. They're using the CAP, they're using the Cambridge, or, you know, Impact and other different curriculums. Now, the reason most of them, there's a wide variety of reasons why people are moving towards homeschooling. I don't know if you know this, listeners, the homeschooling industry in South Africa currently is reaching close to 500,000 learners. That's a lot of people doing homeschooling, okay? So, yeah, number one, where we are in South Africa, we rank very badly, right? Number two, the second very big thing that's happening in education right now is technology. Technology has taken over. And the teacher is not the one with the most amount of knowledge and information anymore. It's actually the Google, your artificial intelligence, and YouTube. And, you know, I'll cite an article from the Daily News on the 6th of January, 2015, right? Just remember, 2015, 9 years ago. So this article was featured on the front page of the Daily News and then in Talmadgery here in KZN. Now, what was so special about this article was that this boy, Jean-Jacques Duplessis, had attained 5A in his matric year. Now, you might be wondering, what's so grand about 5A? People are getting 7A. Well, in interviews, the interesting thing about this boy was he had never set foot into a school, right? So how did he go about getting those 5A? Well, in his interview, he said he learned everything from Google and YouTube. So that's the reason I say, you know, the technology has taken over. And the problem we're finding currently is education is so old and outdated. We are using and utilizing systems that are over 100 years old. So most educational institutes, especially the public educational system, have not yet, you know, embraced technology. What we do, most parents, most schools, are pulling children away from what they love, which is their technology and their gadgets, and pushing them to do what they hate, boring schoolwork, right? So we need to collaborate, and we need to bring technology and education together, because you find amazing things start happening when we do this. And I can cite more than 100 different case studies of where, when we bring in technology, suddenly the students start thriving. I'll give you one example of this, how technology has actually increased learning, right? In May of 2016, Google went to 204 schools across Europe. They were doing some research on videos. Now, what happened was, the reason Google did the study is, for those of you that don't know, is Google owns YouTube. And YouTube is the second most visited website in the world, frequented mainly by 2-year-olds to 18-year-olds. So basically, school-going people, people that are learning. Now, what had happened? They went to these schools, and whatever the teachers, books, and, you know, whatever the schools were teaching children, Google said, we will give children a video of exactly what the teachers taught in school to go home and watch the video. And something strange started happening when they were watching the video. Understanding of the concepts that were taught in school by the teachers suddenly shot up by 71%. So yes, what the science is telling us is that when children are watching videos of what was taught to them in school, their understanding of the content increases by 71%. Okay, so this is one way where technology has really made a huge difference. Now, couple that with the other huge problem that we have, and that is why most parents and teachers in schools are pulling children away from the technology, and that is because they have no control, right? A child, most kids, once they get onto the devices, they, you know, to get them off it is difficult. But is that a, you know, they not to blame? They are born in an age of technology. They only know the world with technology. So everything, you know, is technology to them. So what has happened is, number one, they have no control of the technology. The devices, actually, the technology controls them. And the second big thing that happened with this is their attention span has dropped drastically. Now, if you notice the trend on, you know, all the platforms, on the social media, you'll find now they have moved and gravitated towards shorter videos. What, you have shorts, you have reels. Why? Because the attention span of people now in 2024 has drastically dropped. In fact, the average human attention span for students in school is approximately 22 minutes untrained. This means that children, especially in school, are unable to focus, concentrate, and pay attention for more than 22 minutes unless we train them and we, you know, build that skill of focus, concentration, and attention. So what happens is, when they are unable to focus, concentrate, and pay attention, you now have people labeling them. Oh, these guys are ADD or ADHD or disruptive. You know, it's, you've got to look deeper in the science. The third big problem we're having with education in South Africa right now is that students are unable to learn. They don't know how to learn, how to learn. I know it sounds weird, right? That's like a meta. But what caused that, that they don't know how to learn, they don't know how to study? Well, partly, again, this is not their fault. Most of the time, if you look at it, in fact, more than 99% of the time, it's because they have, you know, this generation of youngsters, everything has been done for them. Most parents, because they grew up in difficult times, hard times, or challenging times, you know, or even if they didn't have hard times, they want to make everything easy for their children. So what that means is they do everything for their children. And, you know, this is from the homework. You know, the listeners, mummies especially will bear me out. They do more of the work, right? You know, something very interesting to digress, it just came to my mind. 2-3 weeks ago, I was dealing with a family where they had 5 boys. And the youngest born, right, this boy at age 15 was unable to tie his shoelace on his own. Why? All his life, it was done for him. It was done for him. So we have a generation that everything was done for them, that now they are unable to do anything for themselves. So we have to actually teach them how to learn, how to learn. And the last thing that really, you know, impacted education in South Africa is the pandemic. When the pandemic came, remember there was lockdown, full lockdown, and then eventually they were not going to school. You know, then after that, it came alternate days and once in a week. So what happened? We lost a lot of time, a lot of learning time. Now, that has actually translated into students being behind in terms of milestones in where they should be according to their age and their grade. So right now, we have students that are approximately 18 months behind in terms of where they should be according to their grade and pace. So what they're doing, the education department has actually now started trimming the curriculum or leaving out things and a whole lot more. They're trying to bridge the gap, but it's not really working. And it's not all doom and gloom, right? So that's where we're finding ourselves. The pandemic has now changed the game as well, because now we have e-learning and, you know, Zoom classes, which, you know, it was pretty new to most people. So what is the way forward? Well, for me, I believe the way forward is to every single person, whether you're a parent or a child, we need to actually inculcate in ourselves, you know, this habit of lifelong learning, seeking knowledge, constantly growing, improving yourself. Because it's one of the basic human needs. You know, the 6th basic human need is growth. So we want to constantly grow, improve. So how do we do this? What you need to do, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a teacher, student, we need to constantly develop new skills. When it comes to education, you know, in the past, education school prepared a child for a career. But right now, we're in 2024, we are unable to prepare children for specific careers. Why? We are living in a rapidly changing world. Every single second, things are changing. Technology, artificial intelligence, you know, all of these things have dramatically changed the game. So what we've got to do is we've got to develop skills for the future, and we've got to future-proof ourselves. So let's talk about the 6 key areas that you need to focus on, right? Whether you're struggling, whether you're right at the bottom, whether you're right on the top, whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher. These are the 6 key pillars of academic success. So if we start now thinking about it and applying it, we're going to find a lot of success for ourselves. So what are the 6 key pillars of study success? Number one is what I call study psychology, and I call it the foundation of all learning. What is this foundation? Well, it deals with, for example, everything in the mind. I'll give you some examples now, right? That's why I call it study psychology. Everything with the mind. How does my brain process information? How do I focus? How does my brain, like to learn and take in information? Also, What do I believe about learning? Like a lot of people throughout the world, they believe learning is hard, boring, difficult. Ask them about math or physics. They go, oh my gosh, this is too difficult. So the first part is about having the right mindset, right? It's all about what's going on in the mind. Why is it the foundation? We all know, listen, if you've got a weak foundation in any structure or in anything, the entire structure becomes weak. So we have to have a very strong foundation. You know, how to learn, learning how your brain likes to learn, knowing what is your learning style, you know, we need to know that. So that's the first pillar of academic success. The second pillar of academic success is called productivity. So here we talk about everything that helps a student produce. Productivity helps produce. So what are these five big things that help a student produce the kind of grades and results they are looking for? Number one is time. Being in control of your time. Allocating enough time for each subject. being able to utilize and maximize your time. Setting out enough time to develop skills for each subject. So number one is about time. Time, you know, using your time to produce the kind of grades and results that you have. Number two is memory. We need to have better memory techniques. Different subjects have, you know, you require different memory techniques. And we need to also know how to improve and maximize our memory. So number one was time. Number two is memory. Number three is about capturing information. Capturing information means one way of capturing information is basically taking notes. That's the old and outdated way, right? But it's very effective. But there are also new and better ways of capturing information. Like, for example, I could record this session and I can listen to it again. Or I could take pictures. There's so many different ways of now capturing information with the advent of technology. So we need to capture, we have to capture information. Number four is about reading. Now we know there's a huge reading problem in the country, right? But at the same time, if you want academic success, you need to be reading, right? That's why we say readers are leaders. So what's so interesting about reading? Look, you know, for the first 4 to 5 years in school, right up to grade 4 or 5, you go to school and you learn to read, right? School teaches you how to read. But after grade 5 onwards, now you read to learn. So the first thing, we learn to read. And after that, when you come to senior primary onwards, going right to high school, university, and in the corporate world, now you actually read to learn. So we need to know how to read, and not only just how to read, because those of you that when you got to school and yeah, you learned how to read, by the time you came to grade 5, you know how to read. Nobody did anything after that. Like, for example, if you got to, let's just say, grade 7 or even high school, did anybody ever double, triple, or quadruple your reading speed? Most likely not, you know, because they say, okay, now you know how to read. But what would happen if we were able to read 2 times, 3 times, or 4 times faster, comprehend more? It's definitely going to increase and improve my results and the outcome in learning. We're going to be able to consume information at a faster pace. Remember, we're living in the age of information. At the touch of a button, we can get tons and tons of information. So naturally, we need to be able to consume and take in this information at a faster pace as well. That is why I believe we need to be able to read faster. We need to double, triple, or quadruple our reading speed and increase our comprehension. So that was the fourth thing that helps us to produce the kind of grades and results that we're looking for. The fifth thing that helps to produce the kind of grades and results we're looking for is problem solving, thinking skills. Now, remember, this generation have very poor problem solving skills, okay? So we need to now start improving thinking skills, how people, you know, are able to solve problems. And you get the different types of thinking, right? You get critical thinking, deductive thinking, analytical thinking, logical thinking. We need to have better thinking skills, okay? So that's the first thing, right? So just to quickly recap the 5 things that help a student produce in the second pillar of productivity. Number one, time. Number two, memory. Number three, capturing of information. Number four, reading even more than what you need to read, and doubling, tripling, or quadrupling the reading speed. And number five, thinking skills, problem solving. This is what tests and exams and assessments are all about, assessing, right? So we need to have good problem solving skills. The third pillar of academic success is performance. What are all the things that will help students or teachers perform better, right? Now, what are these things? You've got mental performance, you've got physical performance, you've got emotional performance, and all of these impact your performance. Now, if you're wondering, how does emotional performance impact? I'll give you an example. If, for example, a little child had a big fight, you know, maybe with a friend, best friend, or even at home, you know, they did something wrong and, you know, they have been reprimanded and disciplined, and now they're crying in their room and they're highly emotional because mommy took the phone away, and now they're emotional and they're crying. But they need to go and learn and study for a math test or a science test. Do you think they'll be performing at their best? Not at all. You are emotional. So emotion has a direct impact on performance. The second thing, the second other very important thing is physical performance. And this is a major, major problem that we are facing throughout the country. One of the things that's impacting physical performance is the lack of sleep. Yeah, this generation is in sleep debt. They are owing on their sleep. And part of it is, you know, part of the problem is the technology. Because they have access to it, and like I said earlier on, they're not in control. So this is why we have sometimes people are with their devices right up to 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And if students are with their devices 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they've got to wake up early in the morning and be at school at 7:30, and then write the test at 8 o'clock. Now, if you went to bed at, let's just say, 12 o'clock or 12:30, and now next morning you're at school and now you need to be writing a test, do you think you'll be performing at your best? Not at all. You're actually lacking sleep, right? And, you know, one of the biggest things that happens when we lack sleep, in fact, it has a direct impact on results. There's two things, but the one biggest thing is your memory. The memory, your short-term memory gets really short. It means it gets really, you start forgetting things. You'll go like, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I just can't get it. I know this. So if that happens to you quite often, then it most likely means that you are lacking sleep. So, yeah, number one, the biggest thing that happens to you is your memory declines. And it goes down by around about 42%. The second big thing that happens when we're lacking sleep and it's impacting my performance is, you know, sleep is the big one that impacts our performance. And the second very big thing that really impacts our performance is our attitude, our motivation, how we are. You know, very often, and an American psychologist has discovered that if we have the wrong faith, let's just listen to this, listen, right? If you got the wrong faith when you are learning, will impact your pace at which you learn. So, for example, now you've got a whole lot of work to study and you go, oh, man, you know, you've got a bad body language and your face is like, oh, no, you got to, you know. Now, what happens is the system, your brain starts resisting and it doesn't want to learn. So what happens is now what normally will take you, like, for example, 15 minutes is now going to take you four times longer. It's going to take you an hour to learn. Why? Because we are resisting. So we need to have the right faith when we are learning, right? Your attitude has a huge impact. You know, we say it's a very small thing, but it has a massive impact on your results. So, yeah, so we've got these things, right, that impact our performance in terms of, for example, you know, like I said, sleep. We're lacking sleep. And then other things that impact, and the second big thing we said was attitude, right? What is your attitude? Is it a positive attitude? Is it a winning attitude? And then we have things like motivation, right? Your motivation. You have to have a motivated interest. That two words is what actually helps people to learn and remember information. We have to have a motivated interest. And, you know, the other very big thing, I missed out actually, I'm looking at my notes, when it comes to sleep, when we lack sleep, the second very big thing that gets impacted in our ability to problem solve. Your you know, the cognitive function of the brain, the executive function of the brain, gets impacted by almost half. This is, you know, your reflexes, your problem solving. You know, your thing. It gets impacted by 46%. You've now gone slower, half, right? You almost half your speed at which you problem solve, you think and you react, your reflexes get shot by half. So that's huge. So that's the third pillar, right? It's all about anything that impacts your performance, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, right? Anything that impacts your performance is about, you know, falls under this third pillar called performance. The fourth pillar of academic success is process. What is the step-by-step process to learn? When you sit down to learn, what do you do first? What do you do second? What do you do third? A lot of people don't know how to learn. So what they do is, when they sit down, they take their book and they will read it, maybe read it once, maybe twice, maybe even, if we're lucky, sometimes the third time. Sometimes maybe you might make notes, and then they go, "Ma, I think you should learn." And I say, "No, you've not learned. All you've done is read." So we need to know how to actually go about learning. What is the step-by-step process? What do I do first? What do I do second? What do I do third? And how to translate what I'm taking in into knowledge? How to transfer, you know, that information into knowledge and understanding? So that's about process. For example, how to prepare a speech in 5 minutes? How to prepare for an exam? You know, the metrics are busy with the trials right now, right? How to answer exam questions? How to prepare a revision plan? How basically? How to write an essay, anything that requires step-by-step in your education falls under this pillar, which is called process. It's basically the you can call it the step-by-step, you know, the steps that I need to take when I am learning. The fifth pillar of academic success is about progress or perseverance, you know, not giving up, keep moving on. To put this into perspective and why it's so important is, if I give you some stats, right? For example, last year, class of 2023, we had more than 300,000 matriculants that actually gave up and didn't end up writing the matric final exam. So we have a huge rate of dropout, where students, this generation, they give up very easily. They don't know how to persevere, how to persist. They don't have grit and determination. So this is why determination, grit, and perseverance is very important. Like if you come across now a very hard section in math, you need to, most students, they'll do one example, two examples, third example, and now they find it difficult to go, "Oh, math is not for me. I need to drop that." So you need to persevere. You need to persist and never, ever give up. But at the same time, when it comes to progress, we also need to know where we are. Now, pay careful attention, listeners, because in every classroom, in every single subject, we're going to find people at one of four levels. You'll always be at one of four levels, right? This is, we need to know where we are so that we can, we need to know what we can do to move from where we are to where we want to be, growth, right? So let's talk about, in terms of your progress, we need to know where am I? So in every subject, in every class, you're going to find you are at one of these four levels. The first level is right at the bottom, and this is called struggle. Right? Struggle means that the student is getting anywhere between 0 to 40%. They are struggling, right? They're in survival mode. You're on thin ice. You might fail, okay? So bear in mind, first level is struggle. The second level is stable. Stable means now the student is getting around about 41% to about 60%, 70%, you know, 60%. They, we'll call it, they're the average student, you know? They're happy that they're just passing. They're just getting along, right? That's the second level. The third level is success. Now, success means these students consistently getting above 60% to around about 80%. They generally doing quite well, and, you know, they just above the rest of the class, you know, the average student. And then you get the fourth level. The highest level is basically your high flyers in the class. These people, again, consistently always get above 80%, so 81% black. Okay. Now, I call this group the significant group. You'll always find students at one of these four levels, right? Now, let's talk about how to come out. We remember this is a growth, right? This is about progress. How do I come out? If you are a student and you are at struggle level, you're in survival mode, right? Right down, you're level one. To come out of it and go one higher, you need to actually change your study habits. Because science tells us, if we keep doing what we're currently doing and you keep learning the same way you're learning that subject that you are struggling in, you're going to get the same result. You're going to struggle some more, you know. So for things to change, we need to change our approach. We need to change how we tackle that subject. So to come out of struggle and survival mode, we need to change our study habits and our study skills. How you're learning, what time you're learning, where you're learning, what techniques you are utilizing, we need to change them around so that I can get different results or better results. Now, let's go to level two. That was about stable, right? Stable, if you have stability, things are stable, not too bad, neither is it too good. Remember, I told you the vast majority of students are happy being at this level of stable. To come out of it, we need to increase productivity. If you want to go one higher, moving from being a stable student to one that is successful on the third level, you need to increase your productivity. So productivity is those five things we spoke about: time, memory, capturing of information, reading, and thinking skills, problem solving. You must increase those five things, right? That will help you now to move and progress. Now, the third level is success, okay? What do we need to do? If you're finding yourself at that level of success, success means you're getting from 61% to around about 79%, and that's where you normally are. So for you to improve and go one higher, remember it's about progress. How do I progress? Here, you have to improve your performance. Now, what performance are we talking about? You need to improve your brain performance, right? The five major areas of the learning brain that you use every single day in the classroom, or it's also used, those same five major areas of the learning brain is also used for taking exams, right? What are the five major areas that I need to improve on? Number one is visual, right? I need to improve my visual skills. Number two, attention. Number three, memory. Number four, problem solving. And number five, speed. I like to remember it with this acronym. I call it VAMPS. V-A-M-P-S. So those of you that are taking notes, visual, attention, memory, problem solving, and speed. How do I improve these things? You know, this is about brain improvement. Right? It's like how, you know, most people go to the gym to basically, you know, improve their physical health, right? So what are you doing to actually improve your brain health, right? So just like how you go to the gym and you exercise the muscles, you're building muscles, so too we need to go to the brain gym, right? And the brain gym means now we need to improve those five major areas of the learning brain, which is visual, attention, memory, problem solving, and speed. So how do we do that? You can actually go and download. If you do a search on your, you know, your Google Play Store or the Apple iStore, and you do a search for brain training apps, you'll find thousands, lots. But look for those that actually help in those five major areas that I spoke about: visual, attention, memory, problem solving, and speed. And I'll give you some. I'm not affiliated with these people, but it's what I use personally. And, you know, I even use it with my clients and my students, and it helps big time. So the biggest or the best one that I really like is this app called Elevate, E-L-E-V-A-T-E. Elevate is all about helping you develop those five major areas of the learning brain. So all you need to do is download these apps and basically play it for like 10 minutes a day. Now it's going to boost those five major areas of the learning brain. So, yeah, number one, you can use Elevate. Then you have another one called Fit Brain. Then there's another one also called Quick Brain. So these are those apps that actually help those five major areas of the learning brain, which is visual, attention, memory, problem solving, and speed, right? We need to improve. That's your brain gym. Call it your brain gym. You just set out 10 minutes every day. you know, when you wake up in the morning or even in the evening, when you get into bed, you want to play these games for like 10 minutes. It's going to boost and improve the five major areas of the learning brain. So that was the fifth pillar on progress. So remember, number one, the first pillar was psychology, everything dealing with the mind. The second pillar was productivity, the five things that help produce the kind of grades and results. The third pillar was performance, everything that impacts the performance, mental, emotional, attitude, diet, nutrition, motivation. All of these things impact performance. The fourth pillar was about process. What is a step-by-step process to write a speech, to learn, to tackle an exam, to write an essay, to write a letter, everything that requires steps. And the fourth pillar, which we just discussed now, was about progress. And I spoke about knowing where we are and, you know, moving to the next level. Also with progress, we need to build more grit and determine more resilience. You need to be able to bounce back from failure and keep moving forward. Now, the last pillar of academic success is called purpose and passion. And they go hand in hand. What is purpose? Purpose is about, why am I going to school? What is the purpose of your education? Now, purpose needs to be broken down into short-term and long-term. For example, short-term is, what are my goal grades for this term? So we need to be setting goal grades. We need to know exactly what target, what's the objective, the goal for that term. And then long term, right, in terms of long term, we need to know, what will my education do for me 5 years from? Like, for example, matriculant. Those of you that are, writing your child, you've been pushing for 6 A's, 7 A's. It's not about the 6 A's and 7 A's now. It's about, what will 6 A's or 7 A's do for you next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? It's about, what will this result do for you 5 years and 10 down the line, future, right? That's long term. And at the same time, we also need to know, what are our strengths, talents, skills, passions, even our weaknesses? Why the move? In education, there's a huge move to personalized education. That is why so many people are moving to homeschooling as well. It's basically you customizing education and you personalizing it according to the child's strength, talent, skills, right, and even passion. And remember, not everybody is going to go to university. In South Africa, we only have approximately 200,000 seats annually for university, all right? And remember, last year, we had close to 800,000 matriculants that wrote the final exam, and that number increases annually. So what happened to those 600,000 that got no place, right? So some of them are going to go look for a job. Some of them might become entrepreneurs. Some of them might go to a college. So we need to also look at what's going to happen. You know, what do I do? Now, some of you might take your skill and become good at it. Somebody might be good at sports. Somebody might be good in business. Somebody might be good at, in technology. So there's different areas. We need to look at what our strengths and talents are. You know, I'll tell you a little story of a 10-year-old boy. I was called to his house because his mom had told me, this boy is stealing, and he's lying about it. And, the interesting thing was, he insisted, no, I'm not stealing. The reason how this came about was, this boy had bought himself a brand new iPhone for 20,000 rand. And remember, he's a great boy, he's 10 years old. His mom is a single mom, and she goes, I can't afford this. I don't have the money for this. How did you? You stole it. And he insisted, no, I didn't. When they called me in and they said, you need to coach his boy, you need to help him. And when I sat down with him, I remember I told him, help me understand how you got this. Walk me through, tell me exactly what steps you took to actually be able to get this. Because he insisted, no, I didn't steal it. I bought it with my own money. And he actually told me how he used to play online games. And he was very good in the games that he was playing. And somebody offered him, on this online game. Remember, when you're playing online games, you're playing with international people from throughout the world. And somebody on that game offered him $100 for his profile because he was on quite far or high up in the game. So he, 10 years old, right, he doesn't know the value of $100. He thought it was 100 rand. And he actually agreed to it. He agreed to it, and he sold this guy his profile. Now, bear in mind, he's 10 years old. He doesn't have a bank account. He doesn't have, all of those things that you need to get the money. So he went to his cousin, who actually coincidentally was living in the same block but next door. And he tells his cousin, which is in university, that I need an ID number. I need your email address. And I need a PayPal account. And his cousin did that. They created it for him, helped him. And that guy who he was playing with bought his profile, actually transferred $100 to this account. And then that same guy who bought the profile started telling other people, other gamers online, that listen, if you go far and you want to cut down the time of developing your profile or getting to that level, this guy, this user here, this gamer, he can sell you profile. So suddenly he was being approached by other people. Can you, also like how you did for that guy, how you sold that profile, can you do the same? And he got excited about it, right? Now he's getting paid. And he did this for quite a number of people. And every time they were paying him $100, $100, $100. He accumulated in rand more than 70,000 rand, okay, in a long period. And this was what enabled him to, with his cousin, go to a mall and purchase an iPhone, right? Brand new, with his own money. And my whole point behind this, listeners, is sometimes your passion might not be in school, but you'll always have to fall back on your education. Because even, let's just say, for example, you're very talented in a sport, right? You're very good. And, eventually, you'll reach your plateau. You'll reach your peak, right? And then others now start becoming faster because now you're getting older, right? You start getting slower, and others now start coming and catching up with you. So once you retire, you have to go back to your education. You have to fall back on your education. So it's very important that, we look at what our passions are, what our skills are, what our talents are, and we need to make a list of these things. It's very, very important that we actually develop our skills. Now, those are the six areas of academic success. Number one, study psychology. Number two, productivity. Number three, performance. Number four, process. Number five, progress. And number six, purpose and passion. Okay, so let's move on. We're in the last part. We've got about 10 minutes. We're going to talk about skills for success. What are some of the skills we need for success? Now, what I did was I pulled out, stats. I looked at the World Economic Forum because they had the most amount of data in terms of these skills, top 10 skills. Now, I'm going to walk you through a timeline, okay? So if we look at the top skills that are required according to research done by UNESCO and the World Economic Forum, if we look at 2015, we go back, right, almost 10 years ago, the top 10 skills, and I'll read them out, is number one, problem solving. Number two, coordinating with others. Number three, people management. Number four, critical thinking. Number five, negotiation. Number six, quality control. Number seven was service orientation. Number eight was decision making. Number nine was active listening. And number 10 was creativity. If we move 5 years ahead, if we look 5 years later in 2020, the ball game changed. Suddenly it changed. Okay. So now they said in 2020, the top 10 skills required for people to succeed in academics especially, right, but generally to succeed. Number one was, yes, same as 2015, problem solving. But check out number two, critical thinking. Critical thinking became number two because people now don't know how to learn, especially Generation Alpha. Number three was creative thinking skills, creativity and innovation. Number four was leadership, right, people management. Number five, team player, right? Being a team player. Number six, this is the big one, emotional intelligence, EQ. So just to put you in the picture of why emotional intelligence is so important. I work with a lot of big corporate companies like, let's say, Home Loans, Liberty Life, SoberSign, FNB. A lot of big corporate companies I've been working with for the last 10, 15 years. And what I found in the last, I'd say, 10 years, these big corporates now, they don't, when they go to universities to look for people, to headhunt them, they are not taking people with the highest marks. That's how it was for, hundreds of years. That's how it was. you know, years and years, they will go to university. The ones with the highest marks in those subjects, they would actually hire those people. Now, they're not doing that. Now, they are looking for people who are emotionally intelligent. They want people not with high IQ, they want people with high EQ. They find that the high IQ people were loners, you know, they did things on their own, they were not good team players, they basically, you know, were in silos. So they want people that are good team players, but, you know, good cultural fit in the company, you know, they get along with others, they are able to work in a team. So this is why emotional intelligence has now suddenly crept in 2020, right, with number six. Now, if you're wondering what is emotional intelligence, right, a lot of you will be wondering, what exactly is emotional intelligence? Emotional intelligence is basically broken down into four parts. Four parts. Number one, self-awareness, being aware of yourself, your emotions, everything about yourself. Number two, self-management, manage yourself, how to manage your emotions, how to manage your confidence, how to manage your things, managing yourself. The third part of emotional intelligence is social awareness. This is now dealing with others, dealing with people, being aware of them, of their, you know, of what type of a person they are, what, you know, being basically aware of their language, how they're speaking, what is the personality type, all of that thing, being socially aware. And then the fourth part of emotional intelligence is social management. Now being able to manage other people, leading. You know, this is where leading. This is basically all relationships. Managing all your relationships, whether it's online or offline, I need to know how to manage my relationships. So those are the four areas of emotional intelligence. And like I said, 2020, emotional intelligence came in number six. Right? Now, let's fast forward and look at 2023, last year. When I looked at the skills, I was actually quite surprised. The growing skills for 2023, number one was, again, critical and analytical thinking. Number two was creativity and innovation. Number three, problem solving. Number four became technology and systems design, meaning putting together, you know, building technology, building PCs, building architecture, building email systems, like that. Number five was active learning and learning strategy. Now, remember, now, after the advent of COVID and the pandemic, now people have to learn online. So e-learning has actually skyrocketed, it exploded. But a lot of people don't know how to actually become or how to learn via online learning or e-learning. So that is why number five is active e-learning and learning strategy. Number six was about initiative, being original, you know, because right now, you know, there are too many followers. And so how to actually lead and, you know, take the initiative. Number seven was emotional intelligence. Then we've got leadership and social influence. And then you've got reasoning, problem solving, ideation. And the next one was time management. So those are the growing skills, right, that you need to have these skills to succeed. Remember, this was actually a survey done by United Nations in over 120 countries. And these are the skills they find that we require to now improve. Now, I think, let's look at what are some of the trending skills that we can focus on for 2024. So I analyzed it and I broke it down and I said, number one, we must have good critical and analytical thinking skills. We need to be able to think for ourselves. Number two, which is trending and we need to now start focusing on it, is problem solving and complex problems, so meaning being able to solve problems. It's a common thing now that students are unable to solve problems. Number three, active learning, e-learning, and learning strategy. How to learn online, because that's the way it's gone. This is the route, you know, learning has taken, especially, you know, if you look at the corporate industry, e-learning has now become a huge market, where before you used to go for a workshop and you want to learn, now you can learn in the comfort of your home, in your own pace, in your own time. Okay, so that's about active e-learning and learning strategies. That was number three. Number four is emotional intelligence. Learn a lot about yourself, how to manage yourself, right? So number four is emotions. Number five is technology. We need to embrace technology, especially now that you have artificial intelligence. Most people are actually, you know, they're trying to fight it. You can't fight it. The technology is not going away anytime soon. It's only getting better and better and better and faster and smaller, right? So you need to embrace technology and learn how to become innovative, right? And innovate, become creative. Even if you're a teacher, you need to actually adapt and incorporate technology into learning. It's what grips the minds of the youth now. And the last one was about system analysis and processes, right? How to analyze. In fact, you know, I've been, for the last couple of months, I've been telling people data analysis. Because we're living in an age of information, there's lots of information, there's a lot of information gathering, we need people that are able to analyze data, tell you about patterns, weight, heading, trends, you know. We need people that will be able to have good analysis of data. And it's going to become a huge career in the future. Okay, rounding up, I need to start closing up. I can see I have 2 more minutes. Let's talk a little bit about how to develop these skills, right? So remember what I said right in the beginning. We need to become lifelong learners. So when it comes to lifelong learning, you need to look at 3 areas. Your core, your capability, and your character. Those are the 3 key areas of lifelong learning. So let's look at the first one. What is the core, right? When it comes to education, your core skills that you need. Basically, you need to know how to read and write. You need to know math. Number 2, you need to know how to calculate. Number 3, I need to know about science. I need to know about, for example, the weather and all of that, right? So I call it scientific literacy. Number 4, I need to be tech savvy. I need technological skills. We're living in an age of technology. Remember, this generation is born in technology. They know the world with only technology. Right? So I need to have good IT and technology skills. Number 5, I need to have good money skills, good financial skills, how to budget, how to save. A lot of, you know, this is not taught in school, right? And with financial skills goes entrepreneurship as well. And number 6, in your core foundation, is cultural diversity. We need to know how to respect other cultures, other religions, and people of other, you know, something else. Cultural literacy. It's very important that forms your core skill. Then is your capability, right? Capability means what are my, you know, the skills. That's what capability, competency means. Number 1, I need to have good problem solving and critical thinking skills. Number 2, I need creativity and innovation. Number 3, good communication skills. And number 4, good teamwork. I need to be able to collaborate and work with others. And the last part, character. Character is absolutely crucial, right? This is who you are, the kind of person you are. So what kind of character qualities you need to have for education? I need to have curiosity, you know, a childlike curiosity. Number 2, I need to have initiative. You must not be pushed by others like parents, teachers to do things. You need to take the initiative on your own. Then number 3 is having what I was speaking about, grit, resilience, perseverance, never giving up. Number 4 is flexibility, the ability to change my approach when things are not working. We don't keep doing, you know, what's not working. We need to be able to adapt, change our approach. New things come by. Technology, we need to adapt. So that was 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 5 is leadership skills. In a world full of followers, everything is about followers. We need more leaders now, right? So you need to have good leadership skills. And the last one, number 6, is, again, social and cultural awareness. So that was for a wonderful show. Listen, I hope you really enjoyed that. In the next show next week, we'll go a little bit more in-depth into these areas. We'll talk a little bit about parenting and emotional intelligence. So until next time, JazakAllah Khair, and this is me, Junaid Bayat, signing out on the Power Hour. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.